Now I'd like to read a few passages of scripture tonight. And the first is in the book of Daniel and chapter 5. And I'd like to just read, starting at the first verse. Oh, sorry, the page number might be useful. 1071. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine before the 1,000. And verse 5, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And then the follow-up over the page. Verse 24, then from before him was sent the part of the hand, and this writing hath been written. And this is the writing that is written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Now Matthew 14. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and perhaps we could read from verse 27. But Jesus immediately spoke to them, that is, to the disciples in the boat, saying, take courage, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answering him said, Lord, if it be thou, command me to come to thee upon the waters. And he said, come. And Peter, having descended from the ship, walked upon the waters to go to Jesus. But seeing the wind strong, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught hold of him and says to him, O thou of little faith, why didst thou doubt? And then my final scripture is at the end of Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 24 and verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and having lifted up his hands, he blessed them. And it came to pass as he was blessing them, he was separated from them and was carried up into heaven. We sang in our hymn of the Lord who touched the leper. And I want to speak tonight about the touch of the Saviour and the hand that is reached out to you tonight for blessing. I was going to suggest that other hymn at the beginning instead of this one, but I rather like this one better. But the hymn that says, God waits in grace with hands outstretched to bless. Glad news from heaven. And it is, isn't it? Not much good news in the world today, but there's good news coming from heaven. And I want to tell you something about it in Tyring Road tonight. Tell you of a Saviour's love for you. Tell you of those hands that are outstretched to you tonight to bring you untold blessings, peace and joy and salvation through the name of Jesus Christ. When we trace the pathway of Jesus through the Gospels, you see the way there that his hand was reached out. He reached out to the leper and touched the leper, stretched out his hand to him, and he was immediately healed. Oh, the hand of Jesus, you know. Think of him too, in John 10, the way in which the mud was placed upon the eyes of a man who'd been blind from birth. And he was told to go and wash. And when he did, he came seeing. The hand of Jesus that had touched that man and given him something that he'd never had before. Even the mother-in-law of Peter, she was in a fever. Oh, how often we get into fevers about things, don't we? But the touch of the Saviour, and she was healed. And I want to tell you that the same person who was here upon earth and touched these persons while he was here is the same person whom I present to you tonight, a Saviour who is in the glory and who is coming soon to take all those who love him to be forever with him. And I want to make sure through the preaching of the gospel tonight that you're going to be among them. Because the same hand that touched the leper is the hand that will touch you tonight. The same hand that touched Peter's mother-in-law when she was anxious and feverish, that same hand can touch you tonight. And if you've got eyes to see, he'll open them. To see the wonder of the glad tidings that's made known in the Saviour's love. So why ever did I read from Daniel? Oh friend, you'll find there that there's another hand. Another hand that writes upon the wall. I bet you've heard that saying, haven't you? The writings on the wall. This is where it comes from. That is, that something's happening and you can't reverse it. There it is, written indelibly. Friend, I'll tell you something that's written indelibly. And that is that God one day soon is going to judge this world. And he's going to judge those who are still in their sins. Those who haven't come to Christ and known his forgiveness. There's going to be judgment. Oh friend, if I could just bring this home to your soul. The urgency of the gospel. Some guests will be the last, you know, to come into blessing. Tonight there's still room, and the fact is there's room for you. And that's why I preach this gospel message, you know. Here in Daniel, there was a man who was just going on doing whatever he liked. He had everything in this world that he needed. He was the king. He was just carrying on in his own way and his own will, completely indifferent to the lessons that God had taught to his father before. And God came in and spoke to him. The writing on the wall. I'm impressed by the fact that all he saw was a part of a hand. Just a part of a hand. Oh friend, I present this to you in the gospel. Because the gospel is glad tidings. It is the wonder of a hand outstretched in blessing to you. It is good news from heaven. But friend, there's a part of the hand that you must come to in your soul experience that you're a sinner before God and you need a Savior. These were the words that appeared on the wall beside the king. It says that they appeared above the candlestick. I suppose that was the place where the light would be given so that the words could be seen. We don't need a candlestick here tonight. No, the light of the glory of God's glad tidings lights up the wonder of the message that God has to proclaim. And the warning that goes with it. Friend, you, like me, are weighed in the balances. And you're found wanting. I often think, you know, even in a room like this, if words like that appeared on the wall and you saw them, what effect would it have upon your soul? Or you would be no longer in the comfort of your chair. No longer just listening to a preaching like maybe you'd done the week before. What was this? This is God speaking to my soul. These are words that I must lay hold of. Why is he saying this to me? Friend, the person to whom that message was delivered died within 24 hours. And how do you know how much longer you have? Time to think about it. Time to put it off. Time to weigh it over. Time to wonder if you maybe wait next week and see if the next gospel preacher says the same. Friend, God is speaking to your soul. And the hand of God is over you. And he wants to bring you into blessing. But you must come God's way. And God's way is by repentance and faith in Christ. And owning that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And asking him from your heart to save you from those sins. You know, he's a wonderful Savior. As most here know, I trusted him many years ago and I've never looked back. I've never wished I'd taken a different course. I never wished I'd put my faith and trust in something else. I've got a Saviour, and he lives in the glory, and one day soon I'm going to be with him. I look forward to that day, because the one whose hands are stretched out in blessing to you tonight, that same one and those same hands were wounded for me. He went to Calvary's cross to bear my sins, and to take them away from before the sight of God forever. And he was crucified upon a cross by wicked men. And nails were driven through his hands and through his feet. Friend, those hands that are out in blessing tonight were wounded for me. One scripture in the Old Testament that I love often to refer to is what Israel will say in a day to come. What are those wounds in thy hands? And he will say, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. He came to save. He came to save his people from their sins. And what did they do? They rejected him. They delivered him up. We will not have this man to reign over us. No. They delivered him up to be crucified and wicked hands secured him to a cross. And whilst hanging on that cross in 3 hours of darkness, God's wrath in relation to my sins was poured out upon him, and he bore my sins in his body on the tree. And at the end of those 3 hours, he said, it is finished. Friend, that's the glad tidings. Because the work has been done by God. And he can come out in full and free salvation to you, to forgive you tonight. The gospel preacher doesn't have to inquire how black your sins have been. He doesn't need to know your history. You know it and God knows it. And a day will come when you will have to give an account of yourself towards before God. When you stand before him. Oh, you think of the horror of it. Standing before that great white throne in the day to come. A God, a righteous, a holy God. And you giving an account of yourself. And he says to you, you heard the gospel. What did you do with it? Was it just a story? Was it just a sermon? Did you feel better after you'd heard it? Ah, that's not the point. Did you accept the Saviour as your Saviour to wash your sins away? Can you say he was wounded for me? Those hands, and you look at the sufferings of Jesus as he died upon the cross. He suffered for me. Can you say that, my friend, tonight? God is appealing to you. And I would appeal to you with urgency for a reason. We look around in the world today and we see the state of things, the way they are and the chaos that there is. We look above and we see the glorious Saviour. Soon he's coming. And it may be tonight. And I don't want to be over dramatic, but I truly believe he's coming very soon. And you may not have much time to think about it. I would like to say to you, if you go away from this gospel preaching, think it over very carefully. But if I say that, it's not exactly scripture, because you may not have time. The Bible says now is the accepted time and now is the day of salvation. And that's what I must preach. Why not come to Christ just where you are? In the acknowledgement of your sins. Recognizing that he's the only one. There's another scripture in the Acts of the Apostles that goes something like this. That there's no other name given under heaven amongst men, whereby we may be saved. That's the name of Jesus, my Saviour. And he lives in the glory today. And he's got a place for you. If you reserved it, it's there for your taking. It can be yours through repentance, forgiveness, trusting in the Saviour. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. No ifs, no buts, no questions, no questionnaire to fill in, no list of sins to go through and say you're sorry for each one. No, forgiveness fully from the heart of a God who's going to wipe everything clean because you've trusted in the precious blood that was shed at Calvary's cross to wash your sins away. As God said to his people of old, come now, come now, let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Well, this is the gospel of God's glad tidings for you, but you know, it's not just a story, it's not just a sermon. You must have to do with God. Because God is going to have to do with you. Whether you accept the gospel or not, you'll stand before him, or yes, you will. Will you stand before him as a saviour? Or will you stand before him as your judge? Friend, tonight you can stand before him as your saviour. You can do it now. Just where you are. Just open up your heart to him and seek his blessing that you might know what it is for the touch of Jesus to touch you. Not the person sitting next to you. That's their responsibility. But to touch your heart and make you realize that God loves you and he wants to redeem you and he can redeem you through the precious blood of his beloved son when he gave his life for you at Calvary. Well, that's why I read Daniel. But I go on now to Matthew 14. I want to speak to you tonight of the hand that is reaching out in blessing. It's a wonderful thing, you know. We passed through difficulties and circumstances here, and Peter did. And often as we read the scripture, we might condemn him because he got anxious when he saw the Lord and the seas were rough. But it happens to us as well, doesn't it? And we get anxious too. Even when we've trusted in the Saviour, even when we know him, the circumstances are ordered for us. maybe even ordered that we come into a gospel preaching like this. Maybe our hearts are in turmoil over different things. But there's one who says, come. Oh, friend, I wonder, would you come to Christ tonight if you knew that he was giving you that invitation? It's not just a general invitation, you know. It's not just calm as a company. No. Gospel message is individual. Will you come to Christ tonight? You know, that hand that healed, as we mentioned at the beginning of the gospel, that hand is stretched out now to you. What about it? A God who loves you, who's done everything for your blessing, has provided a saviour, is prepared for the slate to be completely clean. And tonight, that hand of blessing is extended to you. I want you to think very carefully about it, just where you are. God speaking to your soul, you can be redeemed tonight. Redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Peter walked upon the waters to go to Jesus, and the wind was strong, and he began to sink. And what did he say? Lord, save me. It's not hard to say, but you must make sure you say it from your heart. It's got to come from a realization that you need a saviour. No point in asking somebody to save you if you don't need to be saved. But you do. Every one of us does. We need to have an anchor firm and sure in the Saviour's love. And to know what it is for that hand to reach out. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught hold of him. Says to him, O thou of little faith. What is that doubt? That the hand of Jesus, a God who is able to save and willing to save, and tonight that hand is extended to you. Will you accept it? Will you accept God's offer of salvation? Will you risk a day when you stand before him and have to say, you refused the precious blood of Jesus to wash away your sins? You refused the opportunity to be completely justified before God. Your sins completely put out of sight, never to be remembered anymore. And you said, no, I don't want it. I want to go on just as I am, just as that king did. Friend, you know it's not sensible. You know it's not wise. And these are matters not just of time of your life here. This is eternity. There's a time that lies beyond death for all of us. And the question is, where will you spend it? Will you spend it in heaven? Or will you spend it lost, hopeless, in the place that God reserved only for angels, fallen angels. But men will be assigned to it too, if they haven't trusted in Christ. And that's why it's so important. These things are realities, you know. And when you come to my last scripture in Luke 24, it's right at the end of the pathway of Jesus here. Right at the end of those 33 years. He's been to the cross. And he's suffered. He's died. 3 days and three nights. And he was raised again. 40 days. He moved amongst believers here. There's the witness of hundreds of them in the scripture. They actually saw him, a man out of death, a saviour, risen. a man who burst the grave. And here he is, right at the end of his pathway here. And his hands are lifted up in blessing. I think it's wonderful, you know. Thrills my heart to think that right to the end of the Lord's pathway here, his hands were extended in blessing. And the wonder of it is that God waits still in patience for you and me, for whosoever will. If we're still in our sins, we can still come to Christ in July 2023. We can answer to the message of the gospel. And you know the wonder of this verse is that it's the end of Jesus' pathway here. But these persons actually saw him ascending up to heaven. The witness of it in the scriptures. That the one who died for my sins and who was raised by the glory of the Father is the man who's ascended in the glory tonight. And he lives. And he lives to save. And that's why I preach the gospel. Because one day I'm going to live with him. And I want you to be there too. When he comes, there'll be an archangel's voice and a trump of God. And some won't hear it. But I want to make sure you do. One day there will be myriads who've trusted in the precious blood of Jesus to forgive their sins. And they'll all be caught up to be forever with the Lord. What a prospect. What a hope can be yours tonight if you'll just turn to him. Will you not just turn now to this wonderful Saviour? Will you not own him as yours? Will you not tell him that you need him? That you need forgiveness? Will you not ask him to wash your sins away and give you peace with God? He's able and he's willing. So there's no reason why you shouldn't. And tonight, his hand is extended towards you. As I said at the beginning, God waits in grace with hands outstretched to bless. Glad news from heaven. Make sure you accept it. Even now. May God bless his word.
Amen. Amen.